Mark, I'm a sci-fi fan. Been watching sci-fi my whole life, reading it. I love Chinese culture as well. I'm studying Mandarin. I've been to China a few times. I work in IT. I got a degree in computer science. Those are my main highlights.
This is the first episode about the Apple TV Season 3, Series 4, Asimov's Foundation. Meet Mark Eads, a Washington State University computer science grad who's traded debugging code for decoding Asimov's psychohistory. When he's not crafting elegant C-sharp solutions for tech giants like Costco and Tata Consulting Services, Mark is diving deep into the far future worlds of Isaac Asimov's Foundation series. Hailing from the Pacific Northwest charm of Lake City, Washington, Mark brings a unique blend of technical precision and sci-fi passion to every conversation. He's the kind of guy who can explain complex algorithms by day and debate the intricacies of the galactic empire by night. Oh, while his two feline overlords, Pong Pong and Pung Pung, there's a difference, folks, listen carefully, supervise from their perches. But here's where Mark's story gets really interesting. This software developer has serenaded the streets of rural China in Mandarin karaoke performances that would make even Harry Seldon smile. His love for Chinese culture and language adds an international flair to his already eclectic mix of interests. As we dive into Apple TV's Foundation Series 3, Mark's programmer's eye for details and genuine love for Asimov's universe promises insights that are both technically savvy and wonderfully geeky. Whether we're discussing the show's stunning visual effects or how closely it follows the source materials, Mark's perspective bridges the gap between cutting-edge technology and classic science fiction storytelling. Ready to explore the galaxy with someone who's equally comfortable with both C-sharp syntax and psychohistory equations? Let's jump into hyperspace with Mark. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lance. Thanks for that amazing introduction.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to be back. Season 3, Foundation. I'd like to give one little tidbit.
Yeah?
Pong Pong and Pung Pung are actually the inspiration for the Genetic Dynasty. So that's why they're so good at ruling over me, sitting on their perches, and they look very, very similar.
Are you going to get a third clone to hang out with them soon?
Maybe. We'll see.
You got your whole CRISPR in the garage.
We just do day and dawn. We don't do dusk.
Yeah.
We don't want to go to sleep.
That's kind of depressing when you're dusk and these like days are getting close to the end. We should probably fill people in. We're talking about the Foundation Apple TV series, which is a little different, but rough materially or directionally similar to the Asimov series.
Yeah, the overarching points are there.
And the leaders of the empire are a clone trio. That's an ad by this TV series. And they do that to maintain consistency. So they have the same genetic materials ruling the empire for, I don't know, how many thousands of years.
I think they said the newest one's the 25th. So I don't know how many that would be. You can do the math.
I don't know if they're about 100 years old before they die. So that's like...
And divide it by 3, so it's probably... Oh, anyways, true. Somebody else can do the math.
Well, why would you divide by 3? That's all right. We'll leave
it's the only rule for a third of their... Anyways.
Oh, really? Oh, right. They do die a little young, but a third. A third of 100 years, maybe? Is that what we're thinking?
No, but they only rule a third of their life, because a third of their life, their day, dusk, day, dawn. So if there's 25 of them...
Well... I feel like
it might not be exactly,
they're apprenticing even when they're day or dawn, and they're mentoring when they're dusk. So I don't know. I see that all as part of the same ruling. It's not as direct though. You have a point.
I see. Anyways, I really like the genetic dynasty concept, sci-fi concept. Have you seen something like that before?
I haven't, and I think I'm going to start my own genetic dynasty. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, but and I think one thing that's cool is each season they're new characters almost. So you get reintroduced to kind of new characters. You have to get used to it. Same actors. New characters,
different like motivations and hobbies and girlfriends and whatever.
Exactly. And I really like the ones that we're seeing here in season 3. I think that they're, because I think in the past, every single time it was like one of them was weird, but the other two were normal, you know? And just because they didn't want to throw weird ones at you.
Yeah.
Because they want you to understand what they're like normally in the first 2 seasons. But now they're all weird, right? Like the day is not even... He's not even ruling, I feel.
No.
Don has...
He's not ruling.
Don's kind of doing some secret stuff with the Foundation, and Dusk is trying to avoid his own death. So they're all doing interesting things this season.
Well, we should talk a little bit about story arc. And I would like to approach this from milestone by the novels, and we'll talk about where we think this season started and maybe where it'll end. Because we're in season 3 out of so far 3, and we know it's not going to end. Well, if they get... They won't end a story in season 3, let's put it that way.
There is a little bit of a hint when Seldon, at one point, he mentions that there's going to be 8 crises. So, and we're on the third one, and this is the third season, so maybe that's 8 seasons. Who knows?
That's true. So, that's the milestone, is the crises. And the first... Well, actually, I think this is right. I'm looking at something, book milestones versus Apple TV series timeline. This image will be in your show notes. And The Fall of the Empire is the first book. Yeah, the series starts at The Fall of the Empire, so that's interesting. And then the next is the book's The Founding of the Foundation. And then the third book is The Seldon Crisis. Wait a minute. That must be a milestone. That's not a book name.
The book is in the third column there.
Book is in the third column. I don't know if mine is rendering right.
I see you're looking at that image. Okay.
Chronological timeline of... Yeah. And let's see. Sorry. Hang on a second. So what do we got here? We have Seldon Crisis, which just must be the first crisis. And then the Rise to Power, which must be the Foundation's rise.
Yeah. I guess that's there. Their rise, because in the first season we see them just kind of almost camping, like their city is very small and kind of pathetic, right. But now they're like rivaling the Empire, you know. That's kind of the rise.
It's weird. And then number 5 is the Empire decline, where number 1 is the fall of Empire. Maybe they mean the proper noun. What do you think that... I'm not sure. I have to go look into that now. My graph is... I'm calling the question my graph, folks. I have the fall of Empire at the beginning, which is true. Seldon is saying, like, there's going to be a problem.
If you scroll up in your thing, you have the same thing represented higher up, but in a graph. Or but in a table. And I think it makes more sense there.
Oh, in a table. Oh, that table. Yeah. Fall of the Galactic Empire, Book Foundation. Oh, cool. Okay, but this says, you're right. Yeah, we'll put the table in there too. So Harry Seldon predicts the Empire's collapse and initiates the Foundation project in the book number 1 called Foundation. And then the later book, when we get to, let's see, season...
So season 3, and this one would be on number 6, basically.
So season 3 is number 6, but season 2 is probably...
Season 2 would be would still be number 4 and number 5.
Okay, the rise of the Foundation as a political power, the decline of the Empire.
Yeah, and they went over General Rios. He's like a general who goes and tries to take the Foundation before the Empire, but then fails and gets his fleet blown up. Hmm. That all happens in the beginning of the second book. The second half is the Mule. So we've kind of done... Season 2 has kind of been... Season 2 and 3 have kind of been the second book.
Yeah. That's probably as good. So yeah, check out the visuals in the show notes and then you'll get a picture of what we're talking about. If you're, especially if you're a fan of the book series and you want to kind of know how the books map back to the TV series. All right. Opening of the season.
Yeah. We're 152 years in the future. That'll probably keep happening. Just keep jumping into the future. So I wonder how far that will go.
And Gale's still alive.
They're using pods to wake up once a year, I think.
Yeah, it's cryo sleep. So she's taking long naps, and she's trying to manage a second foundation at the beginning of season three. And so at the end of season two, she gets leadership of the second foundation, let me be clear. So there's two foundations out there, folks. There's the normal, standard, traditional, high tech, used to be religious, and now they're turning into just a high tech center. And then the second foundation is the, I guess it's the backup plan for this crisis that's coming up with the mule.
Yeah, it's sort of like having a backup for your computer. Your your distributed system. You know, you have 99% uptime, but then when you add another 99% uptime, you get 99.99%
yeah.
uptime. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that. It's like in case one fails, you have that backup, you know. Nice. But they're mainly supposed to the difference is the main foundation doesn't know about the plan, but the second foundation does.
Yeah.
And the second foundation is not supposed to try to get all the power. They're supposed to just kind of make sure, guide it back on course, you know.
And my impression is at this point in time, so at the start of season three, the foundation is actually a pretty big deal. Empire knows about them and just kind of like has to live with them because they can't seem to just stop them. And then there's the Empire. And then the second foundation is sort of like they're sort of like an instance just on a planet. I don't think there's not a multi-planet alliance going on like the foundation.
No, and they're hidden too I think they're like hidden. I forget. They show it in the last season, but
yeah. Oh, hidden in what way? Are you saying using
like
psionics?
It's like a black hole or something. And Harry Seldon had found that place before.
I forgot about that.
I forget. Oh, it's like, I forget how, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's probably an illusion, I assume, is what that's... I don't know if that was a real buy. I don't remember anymore.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
You know, shall we talk about the accolades?
Yeah.
So accolades. The show's done really well from the accolade standpoint. They've got nominated for Outstanding Achievement in Cinematography in certain episodes in 2024, also in 2022. And they've gotten a BAFTA TV award for supporting actress by Leah Harvey. And in 2024, there's another best cinematography from the British Society of Cinematography. So the earlier ones were the American Society of Cinematographers. And Camera Image nominated for Golden Frog. That's just a nomination. Apparently didn't get it. Canadian Society of Cinematography awarded them for Best Cinematography and TV for 2024 and 2022. And they got some Primetime Emmy Awards for Special Effects, Visual Special Effects, and for Outstanding Main Title Design.
What does that mean, main title design?
That's when the show starts up on the splash screen, if you will.
Yeah, they have an award for that?
Okay. For 2022. Yeah. And that's cool because there's actually some pretty crazy outstanding title designs sometimes in some TV shows. And then some that are just like, you know, they probably didn't spend much money on it.
Yeah, I mean, now I know why they get so intricate. They're trying to win that award. Very prestigious.
Right. It keeps on going. I could like motion pictures, sound editors of USA, Art Directors Guild. There's a lot of awards. Let's just put it that way, folks. And
good for them.
Yeah. But what do you think, Mark? Well. Are they deserving?
I think so. I mean, to be honest, this is pretty much one of only a few sci-fi shows I'm watching right now, like lately. It's the only one that's been able to hook me, you know, keep me entertained.
On previous interviews about the foundation, we talked about it. We even dared to compare it to, say, on the level of motion pictures like Dune. And if I recall right, at least I remember my stance, I thought it's not that the Dune level, because that's just crazy over the top good, but it's pretty good. So you could at least merit that comparison. Do you agree?
If it were at the same level as Dune, then I feel like that one traitor guy in season 3 would be played by Timothée Chalamet. I don't know if you know the one I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
He's the one that encounters the mule in episode 3, and the mule is like shaving him his head.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I feel like he'd be played by Timothée Chalamet if this were the same production level.
Yeah, I don't remember who. I don't know who Timothy is, but that dude had a great bod, whoever that was.
He's the main character in Dune.
Oh, you mean he's Paul Atreides?
Yeah. I feel like they have the same vibe going on. I feel like he would do a good job. Okay. Not to discredit that guy at all.
Oh, I think you just did. You're going to get letters, Mark. It's the near future. Nanoware and truly artificial intelligent machines exist. Diff is an AI engineer. He gets into a friendly online debate with a nanohacker about whether a culture's most important trait is compassion or skill at war. Unknown to Diff, the hacker runs a simulation on Diff's AI machine to prove his point during Diff's Halloween party. Learn if it's compassion or war that succeeds during a futuristic Halloween party that goes sideways in a very physical way. Bitstorm, a novel lit by Lancer and Shelley Kind, which has received honorable mention in the Writers of the Future contest, is available on Amazon's Kindle. Well, that's the show, and we have things that you may enjoy in what we call the show notes. What are show notes? They show up right in your podcast player if that's what you're using to listen to this series. However, if you downloaded this MP3 from a web page, you know what? We've got you covered, because in that web page, the show notes will be there too. So check it out. You'll find goodies like links to things about the foundation and images that we generated just for this show about the timeline of the series versus the book series. So check it out. We have a multitude of goodness in the show notes. Next episode, more Mark Eads and I talking about The Foundation Season 3.
Like, I watched like a little recap beforehand, but I feel like one thing that's nice about the show is it always jumps 100 years in the future, and then it's like a clean slate. I don't really need much previously on to understand what's going on. You know, I think that's a good thing about the show.
And there's pressure. Like, every season they have to go create their opening scene that's over the top visual, that you are clearly 100 years in the future. So yeah. If you remember Empire, the home planet is Eukonopolis.
The whole planet's one city. Is that what it means?
Yeah. And then in the season 2, it gets rings, or one ring.
Oh, yeah. And now has more. We used to have a space elevator.
Yeah. There was a space elevator in season 2, I think. If I remember right. And then now in season 3, they started with something else. And I don't know what that something else is. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
They had that like circular sort of tube planet. It's not a planet, but it's like a space station.
Oh, true. They did have a tube. They did have an environment. Yeah, like a world-like environment in a tube. And they showed it really nicely.